Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this Transfiguration Sunday and St. Valentine's Day is taken from Paul's second epistle to the church at Corinth. We will read from the fourth chapter, and we will read verses 1 through 11. That's 2 Corinthians 4. Verses 1 through 11, where we read in the name of our Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, how truly wonderful you are. You have shown forth this light into the world. And this light has enlightened us all. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. It is indeed, as we come to this point, I'm understanding this is one of those days again that we've allowed the secular society to take over, which is kind of a shame. It's kind of like Christmas. We let people take this over and merchandise it and do all sorts of things with that. This is quite a wonderful day. St. Valentine was a wonderful man. According to the tradition, he did a healing for a Roman official, I believe, and healed the man's daughter. And he grew to have some sort of renown for that. And then he was brought before the emperor. And instead of begging for his life or anything like that, actually, supposedly the emperor kind of liked him, but he tried to convert the emperor. And the emperor had him put to death. So that's Saint Valentine. He's not Cupid. Not running around shooting arrows into people's heart and bringing you flowers and candy. You know, he was a very great martyr of the church. And this is what we really need to understand, is this reality that Saint Valentine brings us to, of the understanding of the power of this faith. That this faith knows no fear, that it stands in the face of empires, it stands in the face of everyone, and it has courage, a courage that is not born of itself, but a courage that is born of its Lord. And this is really the message of Transfiguration. You see, it's the showing forth of the kingdom, and that's why I put that first verse in there in chapter 9 of Mark, because to understand, Jesus told them, some of you won't see death until you see the kingdom come. 6 days later, he shows them the kingdom so that they see the power of God that's present within him. It's cloaked. within his human flesh. But at that moment, he shows them so they would see this. And you just sang that. And that's why I always pick that song every Transfiguration Sunday. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. The Transfiguration is not just an empty event that took place some number of years ago in the life of Jesus. The Transfiguration is an ongoing thing. It is a constant reality. It is the Transfiguration that made St. Valentine be able to stand before the emperor and seek to convert him. It is the power, it is the courage of the kingdom of God. It comes down to this point of this understanding, this reality of understanding, as Paul says here, we have a new ministry. He says, we have a new ministry that's not the old ministry. The old ministry was of the law. It was of the tables of stone. The old ministry was of those things. It was a ministry to death, he says in 2 Corinthians 3. He says, that was a ministry of death. He says, we now have a new ministry. And ministry just means service work. You know, you run around calling pastors ministers. Well, you know, really, all you're doing is calling them slaves or servants. That's all the word means in Greek. You know, it's just, that's all it means. It means to do service work. It means to be a servant. Paul says, we have a new service work. He says, we have a different service work. That service work, he says, now is by the Spirit of God. He says, by the Spirit of God, we are brought into a new reflection. We have a new image. He says, we have something different. By the Spirit of God, we are now not the same old person that we were. We are not that person that is simply of the flesh. We are now people who live of and by the Spirit. And living of and by the Spirit means we are transfigured. The kingdom is within us. The King dwells within us. The Spirit lives within us. And that is the meaning of the Transfiguration. That is what we are to show to the world. And Paul says, so for this reason, he says, we aren't discouraged in any way, shape, or form. He says, no matter what happens with our circumstance, he says, we are not discouraged because we understand right away we have been given this great mercy. We have this remarkable grace that God has given to us. And he says, for that reason, he says, we refuse hidden and shameful practices. We don't walk, he says, in cleverness. And we do not deceitfully interpret God's word. And that's one of the greatest things ever. He says, we're not here to try to sucker you to get to church. We're not here to sucker you to do anything. We're not here to do that because in reality, the message that we offer to you is way better than that. The reality is that we have the unguarded truth of realizing that God has entered into the world and that light has now shined in the heart of every human being. And we have this wonderful work of service in which we are gathering the children of God. We have received that grace. And we want to be sure that every person receives that grace. It isn't a matter of just showing up for church. It isn't a matter of turning around and saying, well, yeah, we can say that we had so many people come to church. It's a matter of getting to the truth. It's telling people the truth, whether they like it or not, St. Paul tells Timothy. He says that's basically what you need to do. He says you tell people, it says in the King James, be instant in season and out of season. What he means by that is you just tell them the truth, whether they like it or not. Because the reality of things is that we have got to change our ways in the United States of America, that we have to change our ways in the world, that we have to change our ways in Christendom. That we need to live out the fact of the Transfiguration. We need to have a little bit more of a spine like St. Valentine. In understanding that going into this world, we cannot become like the world. We cannot become critical and mean-spirited and blaspheme our enemies. This is not the way of Christianity. The way of Christianity is very, very different. It is a way of following Jesus Christ. It is not accepting of enmity. It is not accepting of these things. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. And we don't go in and try to deceive people by taking passages of the scripture out of context and moving them into things that they don't say for the sake of winning an audience. The reality of things is that we simply give people the truth. God's Son entered into this world, suffered and died for you on a cross, took away your sin, and rose from the dead so that you would have a new life, that you would live in a new way, that you would not spend all of your life looking over your shoulder, questioning every little thing that you do, wondering if God's going to send you to hell, because nothing could be further from the truth. God gave his only begotten Son as the Redeemer of this world to shed his blood for the peace of the world, that we would love God. Helmut Tielecki, he says, this is the greatest thing that God did. He made himself lovable. He says, who wouldn't be scared of a God that shows up on a mountain and threatens you all the time with lightnings and all sorts of things like that? He says, but all of a sudden God appears and shows himself as he actually is, suffers and dies on a cross, and rises from the dead and says that I did all of this for you. This is the nature of the Transfiguration. This is the service work. And that's why we can't afford to have it veiled. But in many ways, even within the church, we're veiling it because we're not gracious. We're not gracious people. It's like somebody does something wrong and we all jump on the bandwagon. We're all out there, you know, calling everybody's fault into question. My goodness, if you want to start calling fault into question, you start with me. I got a list. And that list says I shouldn't even be here. But the reality of things is that the grace of God is such that even if I showed him that list, he'd look at me and say, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember any of those things. Because that's the atoning work of Jesus Christ. God says, your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. If this church, if the church, if this nation that calls itself under God, if it has no grace, it's not under God. It can get up and put its hand over its heart and confess that all it wants. But if there is no grace, it is not under God. And this is why Paul was emphasizing this so much. We can pay lip service to that all that we want. But the reality of things is that we have to understand this word is veiled to those who are kept in darkness. They can't see it. The only way it's ever going to be revealed to them is by the power of the gospel, by the grace of God. That somebody has to be gracious. Somebody at some point has to be willing to forgive faults. Somebody has to be willing to overlook the faults of people. Because they are many. They are many. The faults of people are many, 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 many. But as John says, when he sees his cousin Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." We need to understand the reconciling work of God. That God takes away that sin. And that's this new ministry. The ministry that Paul talks about. This service work is now coming into the world, recognizing that many people have been blinded by Satan. They're in the darkness. That's why they act the way that they do. Don't think that they're out there thinking this stuff up by themselves. They've got a great ally in all of this. The people that are violent, that do destruction, that are going on around our nation and doing these sorts of things now, they have an ally. That's Satan. Because Satan doesn't care about us. And he doesn't care what we do to other people. He doesn't care if we hate each other. Actually, that's what he's looking for. And he'll encourage it in every avenue that he possibly can, and that includes the church. If we're going to allow our hearts to become hard, we have one ally in this, and that's Satan. He'll help us every time. If we want to spew anger and hatred and wrath towards the people that we don't like, towards our political enemies, towards other people like that, that is not God. God is not doing that. That's Satan. That's what he does. And if we don't wake up, we're going to be taken in by that same sort of thing. Because all of us have seen this. What happens is this consumes you. It eats you up. It destroys you. And that's all that Satan cares about. Because he's a destroyer. Paul says we don't have any part of that. And that's why he says this so strongly. We don't have any part of this. Why? Because we are transfigured. We have a new image and we live in a new way. And he says, so we don't preach ourselves. We don't preach anything that benefits ourselves. We don't preach our cause. We don't preach any other thing like that. He says, we understand this revealing light of the good news. We understand this revelation. We understand this, and this image is within us, and we are in the image of God. And he says, so what we preach to you is Jesus Christ. He says, that's what we preach to you, is Jesus Christ. He says, we don't preach some other thing. We don't have a cause that we enlist you to. We don't have these sorts of things. What we have is Jesus. We preach Jesus Christ to you because it's God who sent forth the light. And he says that God said, from darkness, light will shine. And it is this light that we need. It's this light that we need to embrace. It is this light that we need to understand. And Paul says, he who shone in our hearts, and that's the whole point, He's shown where? He's shown in our hearts. He didn't just stay out there floating around in the ether someplace. He came to us to live with us, to dwell with us, to be in us, to enlighten us. That enlightened, we would see the cunning of the evil one. We would see the depth of his deceitfulness. We would see it and know it and not be partakers of it. That as a matter of fact, we would rebuke him fully by the word and understand that's not the way that we are. That's not our path. Our path is a path of light. And what is it a light for? Paul says very clearly, he says, what does this show forth? He says, the knowledge of the reflection of God in Jesus Christ's face. He says, so what are we showing to the world? We're showing to the world the reflection of God in Jesus Christ's face. And where is that? Well, that would be in our hearts. And you understand very clearly. When you listen to these very, very misled people that are leading our government, and they can't keep their tongues. And I don't care what political party it is. Those are words my mother said, you never say those anywhere. You just don't talk that way. And you don't talk to other people like that. And they sit there and pretend like they're so powerful and things like that, that they have the ability to do this, and that is wrong. They do not. And if we get caught up in that, we have been horribly deceived. We've bought into the same darkness. This is not the way human beings speak. Because human beings are transfigured. And they understand and they know. When you address another human being, that human being has been transfigured. The scripture says very clearly, we speak ill of no one. For very good reason. Because we understand the great debt that has been paid for us. Because if I am speaking ill of anyone else, I have a great grand indictment of myself. And so in their illness, in their failure, what I see is myself. But I have received grace. Even for knocking stuff over, you get grace. And that's just how this is in life. You know, we'd all like to think that everything would be nice and perfect. You know, we sit here in a nice, quiet church, and all of a sudden something bangs, and we're like, oh, what was that? You know, it's just the way it is. Yeah, it's just a coffee mug, a water mug, you know. It's like that sort of thing. And it's like, yeah, that's how this happens. Okay, that's the way life is, you know. Sometimes you knock something over. That's just the way it goes. But that's the way it is for everybody. Can you imagine what it would be like if we were called out constantly for every mistake that we've ever made? But God simply says, I forgive you. Here's my son. He took away your sin. I forgive you. I don't even remember it. It's going to be like next week. We won't even remember you did that. Well, Mark will, but that's the whole deal. You come down to that point and you understand that, yeah, this is the way that God is. God doesn't see this, and he doesn't want it seen. God wants it atoned for. And the blood of Jesus Christ is that atonement. Paul says, he says this wonderful thing. He says now, he says, recognizing this, he says, we have this in clay pots. I love that. You know, earthen vessels is the way it sounds in the King James. That still sounds nice. You know, that still sounds like something really nice. He says, basically, we have this in clay pots. What he means, and you could translate this as crackpots. You know, you actually have this in crackpots. We have stuff that's easily and frail, easily broken, that can be easily broken. We're all a bunch of crackpots, he says. This is how we have this. We have this glorious, wonderful thing. And what do we have it in? Dirt. He says, basically, we got it in dirt. He says, to show something. He says, to show the power that is beyond measure, that power, he says, is of God, and it's not from us. He says, so that now we can do this wonderful, strange thing. He says, we can suffer tribulation. He says, but not in difficulty. He says, we can be uncertain. But he says, but not extremely uncertain. He says, we can be persecuted, but not left deserted. He says, thrown down, but not destroyed. He says, always Jesus' death or decease in the body carrying, so that also Jesus' life in our body would be made plain. He says, for continually we ourselves who are living to death are being delivered over on account of Jesus, so that also Jesus' life would be made plain in our subject to death flesh, in our mortal flesh, so that we would understand. You see, when we face this difficulty within the world, and we face it, well, how do we face it? Like St. Valentine. We face it like Jesus Christ our Lord. We face it because we're transfigured. And it doesn't make it easy, and it doesn't make it nice, and it doesn't make it good. You know, people come to this point of, well, I want to be going through tribulation. No, well, excuse me, you know, you got a disease. You need help. The fact of the matter is that going through tribulation, even Paul says, is not easy. It's not fun. It's not the way that we would like it to be. It's suffering, it's difficult, and it shouldn't be played down. The reality of things, of what we go through when we face a pandemic, when we face these sort of things, they're not to be played down. They are real. These are real, real things. But we understand very clearly, as transfigured people, through the Spirit of God, by the power of God, we can get through these things. It's not that cliche stuff that people say, we can do this together. And what they really mean by that is, well, we want you to do it and pay your taxes. The fact of the matter is that this is we together, in the sense of being together in Jesus Christ. We can do this. Why? Because we are transfigured. We witness the suffering, and what happens? Well, we understand. We understand. We know when the suffering comes. And we don't just dismiss it. People are having a hard time. It isn't just something to overlook. It's serious. And we understand that it affects their lives very, very greatly. And we don't just give them a bunch of cliches. We understand very clearly. We do whatever we can to help our neighbors because we love our neighbors. Because this is our reality. Our neighbors are transfigured people. And we ourselves are transfigured people. And we understand they aren't blighted by God. The reality of things is, if God started handing out blights for sins, coronavirus would be nothing compared to what those blights would be like. The reality is that, as Paul says, we need to understand that we're living constantly in a world of death. But we're being delivered over all the time on account of Jesus, so that Jesus' life would be made manifest. It would be made plain in our mortal body, in the fleshly body. And this is why we can't lose sight of what we're really doing here. We can't be taken in by the deception of Satan and start to curse the world. But rather, we need to understand, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, we need to engage the world. We need to engage it. We need to drive out the darkness. That's what St. Valentine did. He engaged the world in its darkness, and he brought forth light. It wasn't him. It was God at work within him to do that work. It wasn't just so we'd bring the people that we love flowers and candy. It was so that we would understand the reality day in and day out that we live in the love of God, that we live by the love of God. And the love of God is within our mortal body. That now we would love and do as Jesus said, that we would love one another, that we would transcend the limit of ourselves and engage the world for the one into whose image we are transfigured. And that's really the beauty of this, of understanding this, that when we come to this point, this is really what we're looking at in this world. Nothing has changed. The world stunk at the time of St. Valentine. It was hard. It was difficult. It wasn't easy to be a Christian. It wasn't easy to hold fast to the faith. The threat was real. And it caused a great deal of suffering for many people, including St. Valentine. But they persevered to the end. And each and every one of us has received the benefit of their perseverance. Because St. Valentine may not have been able to convert, I think Claudius was the emperor at that time. He may not have been able to convert Claudius, but it was a few generations removed that the Roman emperor was converted and came to the knowledge of the gospel. And since that time, that same faith has gone out to rulers constantly, again and again and again, in order to break their hearts and bring them to the knowledge of the truth, so that their lives would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We have borne that heritage. We have borne the fruit of that grace. And we need to engage our world in exactly that same way, that people would come to the knowledge of the truth. It isn't good to simply sit and curse the darkness. It is necessary for us to bring forth the light, to minister that gospel of which we have so graciously received. And that's why when we do this, you know, I think I probably, Carrie can probably tell you, I think I pick pretty much the same hymns every Transfiguration Sunday. But I mean, when it comes to this point of love divine, you're going to find out that's exactly, when you sing this hymn, that's exactly what it's talking about. That we're being changed from glory unto glory. We're being changed. We're being renewed. The image of God is present within us. And by the Spirit of God, by His grace, we're being changed. And that change is taking place. And that change is what we need, because that's what's going to change everything. That's what's going to make everything different. Political powers are going to come and go. But the grace of God remains ever steadfast. And it's present within us, and it's powerful, powerful, because it changes worlds, it changes people, it changes hearts, it changes lives. And it is the brightness of God. As we have received it, He grants us the grace to share it. Because it alone is the remedy for sin. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all iniquity. As we have partaken of the same, may God grant us the grace to see it in other people and to bestow the knowledge of that truth upon them. Not be sitting around counting their faults, but rather acknowledging the work of Jesus Christ, by which they and we have been forgiven. May we indeed walk in newness of life as the transfigured children of God that we are. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, we do give you thanks on this wonderful and great day. I highly doubt that we're ever going to find the gospel on a conversation heart. Father, the real heart that is on display here is yours. Your heart towards us. Your love, your grace. Father, we pray this day that you would quicken us by your transfiguring spirit. That, Father, we would be enabled to see the work that you have wrought within us. And that, Father, you would work in us the spirit of your Son to so engage your world with the power of that gospel, that we should not, even as we sang, ever call retreat. But Father, we should ever be going forward under the banner of that grace and love, that people would know the truth, and the truth indeed would set us all free. Glorify your name, Father, for Jesus' name's sake. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we will close our service with hymn number 113, Love Divine, and God's peace to all of you.